Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yes, there it is. WrestleMania season is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. Whether WWE is good or bad, and mostly it's been very bad over the last year, nevertheless, it's kind of hard to not get at least a little bit excited once we reach WrestleMania. So with WrestleMania 38 on the horizon this coming weekend, wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update on the Top Rope Nation plans for WrestleMania week. So before we get to today's topic, I'm going to clue you in on what we have going on this week. So on Tuesday night, we will be doing our WrestleMania preview show that will be live on our YouTube channel. You can find the link here in the podcast description if you want to join us live, subscribe to the channel. Otherwise, that will hit the podcast feeds immediately after the show on Tuesday night. And then later this week, of course, we will be reviewing both nights of WrestleMania 38. We will be doing the night one review on Sunday morning, the day after. You can join us live again on the YouTube channel, otherwise the podcast feeds immediately after. And then night two of WrestleMania 38, we will be reviewing that next Monday morning, once again on the YouTube channel live and on demand here on the podcast feeds after that. So what do I have for you today? Well, this is a little bit, I'll call it a remix rather than a rerun, but 2 years ago, just as the pandemic was picking up steam, we were hunting for some interesting topics to keep people entertained at home while they were trapped in their homes. And we did a little bit of outside-the-box shows, and we came up with the idea to do a rebooking of WrestleMania main events show. So this was in April of 2020. It was episode 139. And I thought I'd throw it up here on the main feed again this week because we have a lot of new listeners over the last 2 years. And many of you have maybe not ever heard this show. If you heard it at the time, maybe you want to listen to it again. This was 2 years ago. Maybe our opinions have changed. Maybe not. See what you think. It was a very, very entertaining show. In particular, the rebooking of WrestleMania 11, oftentimes quoted as possibly the worst WrestleMania of all time. We went through some scenarios where we could have made that a heck of a lot more entertaining than what they did in 1995. So I'm going to take you back to episode 139 of Top Rope Nation, rebooking WrestleMania main events. This is from April of 2020. We'll see you Tuesday night with our WrestleMania 38 preview. Joint, I often say on the program that you are one of the creative forces behind the scenes here on Top Rope Nation. When it comes to our text threads or, you know, whatever we're talking about in the world of wrestling, you always have questions you throw out to me and Kyle, and they're always good topics that we can use on the show. And so this week, with not a lot going on in the current world of pro wrestling, we decided to go down the rabbit hole of classic wrestling and bring forward one of your questions that you have posed to us in the past. So go ahead and explain the criteria for what we're going to be talking about tonight.
So this might be the most excited I've ever been for one of our conversations along these lines. This is probably like my favorite, you know, having some beers with a buddy and just talking wrestling. Topics. And this one is what is your Mount Rushmore of WrestleMania main event changes? Basically, we're getting the pad and pen and we're rebooking a main event. You know, I think one of the ground rules is it should probably be somewhat realistic. You know, we don't want, you know, somebody who could barely make the card all of a sudden being on the main event. But there's a lot of different ways that you can approach this. And so I was kind of curious to hear how you guys approached your Mount Rushmore, because I will say personally, I approached it very, very selfishly.
So when this came up in the text story a couple of weeks ago, Kyle really put together a masterpiece as it relates to WrestleMania 11, which is one we're going to be talking about in a little bit here. So I knew I'm not touching WrestleMania 11 because Kyle, that day, Kyle kind of like blew both of our minds and we were like, holy shit. You know, like WrestleMania 11 is a show that is panned by fans for good reason. And Kyle put together like a very rational card that they could have done, which would have just blown away the show that we got.
Almost like I've been thinking about that for 25 years.
Yes. Kyle was so frustrated that night. He wanted to go to Hartford and throw down. So yeah. he put together a much better card. I think when I did my list here, I just thought main event. If you really do this well, you should probably think about how that's going to impact the rest of the card as well and adapt and change those matches. But I stuck strictly to the main event matches, and I kind of figured you could find your way beneath that, but I just stuck to the main match at the end of the show. Kyle, when you went about doing this, did you have any particular strategy, or how'd you narrow it down to what you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, so I kind of had four factors I looked at. Number one, I left alone ones that worked. I don't care what your idea for WrestleMania 3 is. It's not better than Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant, so leave that alone. Match quality was basically a non-factor for me. I personally did look at the impact on the rest of the card. And for me, that kind of helped narrow me down to four choices. So like, if I was like, all right, well, this would be a great main event, but then I'm like looking at the rest of the card and I'm like, oh shoot, like how do I massage these pieces? I kind of thought twice about it. And basically what I'm looking to do is not just improve the WrestleMania on game day, but improve the future creative trajectory of the WWE in that given year and beyond.
Yeah, that's kind of a plays a part in mine too. It's kind of all about ripple effects, where in some cases I do go into a little bit deeper into the WrestleMania card. And in one case, it's almost like an entire year of ripple effects.
So do we want to look at this chronologically then and start with the earliest show? Because I think I have the earliest change of any of us.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
So I figured if you look at the first six WrestleManias, I think all of them work. The only one I could see that you could maybe make a case for is the first one and just doing like a Hogan Piper singles match.
I thought about that too. But
I understand why
you want. Was really important.
Now, that's my point is I understand why you want Mr. T like actually in the match rather than just being at ringside. Now, you can fast forward and see, you know, what they did with Mike Tyson at 14 and say they could have done that with Mr. T. But it's the first WrestleMania. You want him competing. So I didn't touch that. And then, yeah, as you go from 2 through 6, I can't make a case to change any of those. Okay, so, well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say something. I think there's a case for Hogan Piper at 2. Yeah. I'm going to tell you why I left off number 2. And this is another kind of factor I looked at. If the change really was negligible for the future trajectory, that also kind of narrowed. I would leave that off my top 4. So bottom line with WrestleMania 2, you're an idiot if you're not having Hulk Hogan come out of that show as the champion. That's what's going to happen. It's just kind of non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. So that's why I would leave something like WrestleMania 2 alone. I'm intrigued. None of us took a stab at number 4 and the tournament, because that didn't work really. And that's considered, you know, one of the crappier WrestleManias. But the thing is, for me, I've never been able to come up with a better idea to get the title on Randy Savage.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that you need it. You need to end up with Savage's champion, because then that leads into one of the greatest stories WWE history.
And if you watch the TV at that time, they really beat you over the head with, after he won the tournament, Randy Savage only man to win four matches in one night to be the champion. They really played that up for all it's worth. So, yeah, I left that one off, too, despite the fact that that's a WrestleMania most people cite as, quote unquote, not working.
Yeah. So, and you definitely can change 5 and 6. So we get to 7. This is the first one on my list. I think in the main event slot, and it kind of pains me because it's going to change a match earlier in the show, which was unbelievable and one of my favorite WrestleMania matches. But I think they left some money on the table not doing a Hogan Warrior return match in the main event of WrestleMania 7. And so that's the first one on my list. If you look at what happened with Warrior post WrestleMania 6 and winning the title from Hogan, business didn't accelerate with him as the champion in 1990 throughout that year. It actually went downwards a little bit. And so I feel like, you know, you come back with the return match the next year, you do Hogan Warrior, and this time you have Warrior as a heel.
Ah, that was a question I had for you.
Yeah. And so what I would do. Now, we know they played the USA-Iraq thing like into the ground that year. Now, if you guys weren't old enough to remember the first Gulf War, that thing was over like before WrestleMania 7. And, you know, they did WrestleMania 7 with Hogan and Slaughter. And then later that year at SummerSlam, and they're still playing that card with the tag team match with Hogan and Warrior teaming up against Slaughter and Adnan or... You know,
and Mustafa.
And Mustafa there. I think what you do is you have Hogan and Warrior as a tag team prior to WrestleMania, and they take out the Iraqi sympathizers, and then Warrior turns on Hogan, and you do the return match from the year prior, and you do Hogan Warrior in the main event. And like I said, it pains me because Macho Warrior is such an awesome match on that show, and you got to find a different spot for Randy Savage, but I didn't go down that. I didn't do that. I just looked at the main event, and I feel like Hogan Warrior at Mania 7, a return match with Warrior as the heel, would have been pretty cool. Any thoughts from you guys on that?
I dig it. I don't know if Warrior works as a heel. At least I don't know. I mean, you almost have to kind of stop doing the face paint and stuff, I think, which kind of, boy, I mean, it's basically his character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's true because, I mean, growing up as a kid around that era, like, kids our age loved Warrior. It was such an over-the-top character. So it's a bit of a stretch, I acknowledge that, to imagine him as a heel.
The other, and like, for me, it's not even really the loss of the match because I hated, you know, Warrior kicking out of all the elbow drops and then just standing on Savage's chest to win the match. I didn't like that part of it. It's still a good match overall. But then you also lose the great moment with Elizabeth at the end too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's a key. So Justin actually hit on both of my two counterpoints. And it's interesting with the Warrior as a heel. I'll add this: Bruce Pritchard on his podcast, and I have no idea which one it was, but Conrad threw to him, "Hey, was there ever any talk about Warrior as a heel?" And Bruce said Vince never thought of Ultimate Warrior as a heel. He always thought of him as a superhero and said there was never any discussion of turning him heel at any point, which shocked me because the scenario you're proposing, Ryan, is something people have talked about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Yeah, I didn't completely come up with this on my own. People have I've read people talk about this.
Yeah, before. A lot of people have talked about this. And you know, a main reason to do it is, you know, you talked about the USA-Iraq thing. That drew them a lot of negative publicity. Although the war was a real blink and you'll miss it affair. Now lives were lost, and we shouldn't minimize that. But it was over by the time WrestleMania hit. That drew them a lot of like bad press. Bob Costas pulled out of WrestleMania, so it wasn't a good thing for them to do it. I know people are going to say, well, Iron Sheik. Well, you know, that was years removed from the hostage situation, and times have changed in 7 years. Mm-hmm. You know, 1991, you didn't want to do war exploitation anymore. But for me, the reason I ultimately left this off was because of the loss of Warrior Savage. And it's not just losing that. It's like, I don't know who to plug in then to that role with Savage, because Savage did want to take time off. And that was kind of the scenario they constructed for him. And I don't know who then you could slide into Warrior's spot. And, you know, again, if you're not thinking that way, whatever, that it's immaterial. But for me, I did kind of think about that. And that's why I left this one off personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did think of it, though.
Yeah. I thought of this strictly as the main event. I tried to just section off the rest of the card and just what was like the bigger match they could do. And it seems to me like Hogan Warrior, the year after, is such an iconic match. It's still one of the most iconic matches in WrestleMania history. To do a return match, but make it a little more fresh with Warrior as a heel. That's what I came up with. So that was my first pick.
Yeah. It would have saved us from Halloween Havoc 98, too, probably.
It's true. Hogan getting his heat back, yeah.
And I will say, Hogan Slaughter is certainly the first WrestleMania main event, in my opinion, that did not work.
Yes. Agree. What's the early, if we want to go in order, because we're not completely clear on what everyone has. We know what Kyle has.
I'm up next.
Yeah, okay, Justin's up next. I know what he's picking.
I'm pretty sure we've talked about this before. I'd mentioned that I approached this selfishly, and that is because 11-year-old Justin and frankly 39-year-old Justin really, really wanted Ric Flair versus Hogan at WrestleMania 8. I think you can switch that. I mean, you can easily just do Savage versus Justice and kind of the same storyline. I know, you know, kind of the weird ending with Hogan Justice was, you know, Hogan was kind of going to be leaving for a while. So you can still do something where like Flair cheats and wins, maybe gets pulls the tights, gets an actual win. You can still have Warrior come out. You can still do all that. And then, you know, then you go into SummerSlam where Flair didn't even have a match. And then you can do Flair versus Savage, where we can still get that fantastic Photoshop storyline going into WrestleMania 8, or you can do Flair versus Warrior, you know, coming off of, you know, the ending of WrestleMania. You could do something like Flair and Perfect versus Savage and Warrior. And then I would do the world title change at Survivor Series, Ric Flair versus Bret Hart. Give Bret Hart a little bit bigger moment with that championship. And, you know, even at SummerSlam, you could still have Savage win and then Flair get it back at a house show before Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to really, I think, younger people understand how much of a dream match Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan was. And to have the opportunity to do that at a WrestleMania, and especially coming off of Ric Flair's title win at Royal Rumble, arguably the greatest Royal Rumble of all time, it still kind of shocks me that they didn't do that. And I've heard that a big part of that was because they were doing Hogan and Flair on the house shows.
Yes.
But, you know, frankly, I didn't watch house shows back then. I didn't give a shit. You know, give me that match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I had this on my list too. I think Hogan Flair is a no-brainer, and I've heard that explanation too many, many times. Is they ran the house shows in the big markets all throughout the country, but it's true. Like, if you didn't live in one of those big markets, you didn't see the match during that era. So I still think they should have done it, and the fact that Hogan Flair never went on a WrestleMania really, really sucks. And so to me, yeah, I had that on mine as my second second one.
The other part is like how shocking and amazing would it have been for Flair to go over in that match? I mean, you know, really, you didn't have a heel, you know, leave a WrestleMania or, you know, end a WrestleMania with a win until I think what Triple H in 2000, I think was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, that just would have been incredible. And, you know, you could have talked Hogan into like, well, you'll get it back at 9, which, you know, obviously wouldn't have happened, but still. Yeah. Okay. Thoughts, Kyle?
Well, if you know how to get Hulk Hogan to do a job at WrestleMania, please share with me your lotto picks for next week, because that was not going to happen. However, you did hint at something what they easily could have done, and that is the exact same non-finish they did in the Hogan Sid match with Ultimate Warrior running in.
Mm.
They literally could have just done that finish. Like, because Hogan was not going to lose to Ric Flair. You have, like, there's, you just have to, there is no way under God's green earth even if it's like the most controversial pin ever, that he was going to lose. He just he just wasn't going to do it. With the Hogan Flair house show thing, you know, Flair actually just talked about this on his, what I thought was excellent, Broken Skull session appearance with Steve Austin, that's available on the WWE Network, that they did go right into doing a house show program because they had nothing for the house shows in the fall, and they had done some kind of disappointing numbers, which gave, I guess, the front office some sort of pause about doing this at WrestleMania, in addition to the fact Hogan was leaving. Now, I push back on that because it's like, well, WCW, 2 years later, did a great number with it still. Mm. So if done right, and you I know Meltzer has a lot of umbrage with the way Flair was presented when he first came in. Some of that's right. But I think, you know, like Justin said, coming off what I believe is inarguably the greatest Rumble of all time, him winning, Hogan challenging, it was logical. The only thing that you have to tie up is Sid, I guess, was allegedly promised the WrestleMania main event when he jumped. Now Vince has reneged on similar promises, I think. I don't think that's a big deal. And Sid wound up quitting anyway, so if he quit,
imagine
I guess
that.
Yeah, I guess if Sid quit, I guess if your fantasy booking results in Sid quitting, that's not a big deal. But here's something I thought of, because I considered this one too, and it actually didn't make my cut. It was one of the last ones I cut. Is the rest of the card again? So it was interesting. Justin mentioned doing Savage Sid, because I would just assume that you would do the Savage Jake blow off, and that would have left Undertaker Sid. Oh. And that's kind of an interesting deal, because Sid's probably not jobbing, and then all of a sudden you never have the streak.
Yeah.
So that's, again, I kind of talked myself out of this one with the down card situation. I know Ryan always likes to lecture me in political talk about down ballot. So, you know, here I'll bring it back with down card, those effects.
I don't lecture you. Come on.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was my thing. I think, again, this is a logical one people have talked about. It makes sense. But yeah, this was, I think, actually the last one I nixed. I originally planned on having this on until I came up with my WrestleMania 11 idea. Spoiler alert, I have not thought about it in 25 years. It just kind of came to me in the shower one day.
Well, let's hear the WrestleMania 11, because I think on our lineage here, that's the next one to come up.
Yep. Okay. So what didn't work at WrestleMania 11? Well, quite frankly, a lot. LT Bigelow, I think the angle was done well, but it didn't draw as well as hoped. Also, Taylor's participation, correct me if I'm wrong here, didn't really benefit anyone on the WWE roster. Certainly not Bigelow, who never recovered despite turning babyface. Speaking of babyfaces, Diesel, as a babyface champion, that didn't really work, did it? And he was out babyfaced by Shawn on this very show.
Mm-hmm.
And Bret Hart, Ryan, was totally wasted.
Yes.
So am I kind of on the ball with all those things?
Yeah.
There? Do we think? Okay. So my presentation for WrestleMania 11 is to do a double main event. And it features in the WWE title match. Oh, sorry.
Hold on. I just needed to grab a Kleenex and my lotion quick. All right. Proceed.
Oh, okay. It's funny. You're hyping this up. I don't know how good this would have been. I can't believe how much you like it. I've never heard anyone propose this. So
No one works magic with 1995 WWF like Kyle.
Okay.
It's just so much better than what we got.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So here's my double main event for WrestleMania 11. WWE Championship match. Your champion, another guy that was wasted on this card, Lex Luger, as a heel, defending against former champion Bret Hart. Your other half of the double main event is a tag team match, Diesel and Lawrence Taylor against Shawn Michaels and Psycho Sid. Here is how I would get to that. Lex Luger, if you go back to SummerSlam, would have actually sold out to Ted DiBiase. Remember that storyline where it wound up being a swerve and Tatanka sold out and joined the Million Dollar Corporation, giving us that infamous promo where he said, I did what my ancestors should have done all those years ago. Take the money.
Oh,
that was bad.
That was real.
And you know what else was
incorrect?
Yeah, you know what else was bad? Tatanka is a heel. So, like, it's interestingly, I get the swerve factor of doing that with Tatanka. I mean, it was kind of shocking at the time, but long term, I don't think there's any denying that if Luger had actually sold out and been that top level heel, it would have worked way better than Tatanka in the corporation. So what I'm doing with Luger then after he sells out is basically giving him Bob Backlund's spot, meaning he beats Bret Hart for the title at Survivor Series 94. That's an easy program to set up based on Luger's jealousy over what happened at Mania 10.
Mm-hmm.
Bret wins the Rumble and gets his rematch here at Mania 11. And here's kind of, I think, the beauty with how I redid it, if I do say so myself. I don't know who goes over here. I'm leaving it open-ended because I want to see how well Diesel is getting over as a babyface in his storyline. So you don't necessarily have to go back to Bret in this scenario. If Diesel's really getting over and you're like, now we know he didn't, but maybe this scenario, you know, is a little better for him. And you're like, hey, we can leave the title on Luger and Diesel can beat him down the line. You could do that. So how do I do this Diesel LT versus Sean Sid situation? This is how I do it. Rather than split up and vacate the tag titles, which is what they did, I would have had Sean and Diesel lose to the 1-2-3 Kid, former Click, fellow Click member, not former, fellow, and Bob Holly at the Rumble 95. Kid and Holly won the vacated belts at that show anyway, so not really changing history there. I do the Diesel-Sean split right after that match. Diesel, you know, Sean could do the thing where he costs his team the title by super kicking Diesel. Diesel gets mad. Afterwards, Lawrence Taylor laughs at Shawn Michaels, just like he did at Bigelow. But Shawn's the one who shoves him. And that kind of sets up Shawn and LT. Diesel and LT agree to be tag partners. Shawn's got to find a tag partner. He brings in Sid, which is exactly what he did for this show. And, you know, them being former tag team champions, it kind of makes sense to do a tag team match, I think. And if you want to ask me what I would do with Bam Bam Bigelow, I'd put it with Undertaker, saving us from that terrible King Kong Bundy match. So that's WrestleMania 11 in my world.
1,000 times better than what we got in 1995, I have to say. Yeah, I'd be very interested in that WrestleMania. I like that card. Yeah. Justin, how you doing over there?
I'm finished.
Yeah, that's gonna be that's one of the highlights of this show that I was looking forward to.
Out of curiosity, beans at, you know, 11, considered, you know, one of the worst WrestleManias. Real quick, is there any way you guys can fix 9?
I thought about it, and you talk about ripple effects. It's basically changed in the next 4 years. I have always thought that they should have done Yokozuna Bret, but with the roles reversed. Yokozuna, I would have had, you know, I would have had Savage beat Flair. You know, he's the champion. And Yokozuna, like, immediately comes in and just beats Randy Savage. Just squashes him for the title, like in the fall of 92.
Okay.
And he gets that dominant run that he got basically in 93 going into WrestleMania 9, and then you build Bret up. Now maybe Bret's not working. You play the Hogan card and you have him come in and wrestle Yoko. But I just feel that that first Bret Hart, I love Bret, but I don't think that first title run worked at all.
Yeah. I like that idea. Bret wins the title. And then maybe you, of course it would have been ideal to have the Bret Hogan match that summer. That's always been talked about.
Or you save it for WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, keep him around if you could keep him around. If
keep Hogan around, yeah. I mean, the problem was, again, Hogan made it pretty clear he wasn't losing to Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like Hulk Hogan.
Justin, you have something?
Nope.
Okay. So that's 11. That's the very well reworked WrestleMania 11 card. And then as we look down the list, I considered 13. But, you know, 13, that would be having a Brett Shawn match, which we don't know if it would have been possible because Shawn lost his smile and everything. We know at one point that that was the planned match at WrestleMania 13. Yeah, I thought about saying you should have done Brett Austin in the main event with the title instead of the secondary match behind Sid and Taker. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you also, again, you talk about down card. I really just didn't want to touch Brett Austin. Yeah, I know it's cheating and it's a happy accident what happened, but man, I don't. I actually decided, well, you know what? Screw it. Let this WrestleMania tank because it worked out for the best. And Undertaker, honestly, winning the title. Of, you know, I've said this before, Undertaker to me is a guy who shouldn't be in that championship role very often. But 97 was the one time it worked because he was reliable. He was the one guy that wasn't bitching a lot backstage. That was a good championship run he had in 97, even if he wasn't always the focal point of TV.
Yeah. So I thought about putting this on my list. Ultimately, I didn't. If I would have made the change, it would have been to say keep the title on Brett after Final Four and have Brett Austin be the title match. It was the best feud in the company at the time. But yeah, I left that one off my list, ultimately. Justin, did you consider this one for your list at all?
No, God, no.
Okay. So 16 I do have on my list.
Aha! I considered this one as well.
Yeah. Justin, do you have 16 on your list?
I do not. Okay. I'm not going to be in this for quite a while.
Ooh, okay. So, WrestleMania 16, if you guys were not watching at the time, was kind of considered underwhelming, to say the least, as far as WrestleManias go.
It had a red hot period.
Yeah, it had a ton of excitement going in. They did like WrestleMania all day pay-per-view show that day. They did this like WrestleMania party. You guys remember this, like the night before the show, just had like thousands of fans in some convention center or something. And then they headlined with Triple H defending the title against The Rock and Mick Foley and the Big Show with a different McMahon in every corner. And Triple H retained the title. Didn't work. It was not a good WrestleMania main event. This one often gets panned by fans. What did we get the following month at Backlash? We had The Rock and Triple H, with The Rock defeating Triple H for the title. We had Mick Foley in this match. It's often looked back at as this was Mick Foley's chance to headline a WrestleMania. Foley was coming off of the No Way Out Hell in a Cell with Triple H. And better yet, the street fight at Royal Rumble 2000, yeah, which was an awesome match.
He was coming off the Hell in a Cell where his career ended.
Yes, I should have mentioned that. So, like, you understand why they brought him in to headline a WrestleMania, but they did the storyline where his career was over just a month before. So, to me, it's a real easy switch. There's not like a ton of thought you need to put into this. I just feel like what they did at Backlash, they should have done at WrestleMania. And you do Triple H defending against The Rock in a singles match. These two guys had a really good feud over the years, but they didn't headline WrestleMania in a singles match together. I think you do it here at 16, and you know, you have The Rock defeat Triple H for the title at WrestleMania rather than doing it at Backlash, a secondary pay-per-view the next month. You leave the McMahon stuff off, and that's that. Kyle, did you consider this one?
I absolutely did. You're doing very well at hitting my honorable mentions so far, because yes, all three you've mentioned I considered, and it was, you know, I think pretty obvious what I would have considered. I did consider just doing Rock beating Triple H here. What I like about it is that it puts the focus on the performers and not the McMahons, which I thought was such a mistake in the build for this.
So
it kind of just made and set such a dangerous precedent that we've seen for the last 20 years where the McMahons are more important than the wrestlers. And I just cannot
emphasize to you guys, if you were not watching at the time, like how underwhelming this WrestleMania was afterwards. You know, it had a good ladder match, but you know, like, man, I was so hyped for that WrestleMania, and this main event was underwhelming. Yeah,
it's a bottom 10 WrestleMania, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Just sneaks in there, probably. And of the first five pay-per-views of 2000, there is no doubt that WrestleMania is the worst. Mm-hmm. Like, the No Way Outs, the Backlash 2000, is one of the great non-Big Four pay-per-views in the history of that company.
Yeah.
And Judgment Day was good, too, with the Iron Man. Now, the argument against Rock winning here and just doing kind of the traditional babyface wins, you know, like, again, Triple H is the first heel to leave WrestleMania champion. Well, who did that really benefit? Gee, what a surprise. But the argument that he made is, well, you came back with Rock Triple H rematches the next couple months. Business was still good. I always hated how Triple H got out of that program, though. He did do the job proper at Backlash, but then he wins it back in the Iron Man. And then Rock gets the title back by beating Vince McMahon in a six-man tag at King of the Ring. Triple H didn't even do the final honors. I hated that always.
Yeah.
Well, and again, who did that benefit? Very interesting.
Yeah.
So
I just think, and, yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, and I hated how they brought Foley back because yeah. I know people, there were people who thought, oh, maybe Foley wins. Maybe they're going to give it back to him. But it was such a massive, massive reneging of a stipulation. The likes of which we did not see again until the Shane Undertaker deal at 32. Stay tuned for that one, folks.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Big Show, no one thought Big Show had a chance to win. Doing the four corners was just an excuse to, you know, have the McMahons be the stars of the show. And look, they own the company. They can do whatever the hell they want. I just think that this was a dangerous moment in the history of this company where the McMahons elevated themselves to the level of their performers, if not above. I disagree with that. So if you want to change this one, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just one more thing. I'm sorry. Rock and Triple H. If you're like, well, what is Hunter's gonna be like, well, what do you do with Rock? If he's not doing rematches with me, well, he's still gonna done rematches with him. Number one.
Yeah.
Or you have the Radicals who had just come in.
Hmm. Yeah, I think. It is an iconic feud of that time period, though. Like, people always talk about the Triple H Rock feud, going back to the ladder match at SummerSlam 98. And it was just mentioned this week. Actually, was it yesterday? That show WWE has The Bump. They had Triple H on there, and they actually had The Rock on there, who recorded a video, like, specifically for Triple H on there from, like, his cell phone or something. It's an iconic feud from the Attitude Era that never had headlining WrestleMania match. So I just think that this was an easy one to plug into my list. Justin, did you consider this one at all?
Yeah, this is a fantastic pick on your part. I'm right there with you. I was, you know, 15 and 16. Like, I didn't learn my lesson from 15 about being hyped for WrestleMania and it not paying off.
Yeah.
Cause that's what this did. I kind of bought into the four McMahons in each corner gimmick, not each corner, but yeah, it just did not work out. So yeah, I like this one a lot.
I think I was in high school at the time and one of my buddies got it and I went over to his house to watch it. I remember looking back now, it's stupid. Foley was brought back so soon. I think at the time I was kind of like, you know, I loved Foley. I was like, oh, he's back. He's going to win the title. But then when Triple H retained, we all left my friend's house. Like, what the hell was that? So, yeah, it was just such an underwhelming show. Rock won the Royal Rumble that year. Like, it just makes sense. You do Rock Triple H, so.
And also, selfishly, keep this in mind, folks. Had they not done this Four Corners thing with Mick Foley, it would make one of my future changes all the more better. Keep that in mind.
Stay tuned. So post 16, I'm assuming nobody touched 17. So does anyone have 18 on their list?
I do.
Yes, you do, Kyle. Justin, is 18 on your list?
No, it is not.
Okay. So I have, like, I was telling these guys off air, I had a list of more than four from my Mount Rushmore, and I was trying to not overlap with Kyle too much. But the two that I have left, so I've talked about, three, and I have two options here, but Kyle is also going to talk about both shows, so maybe we can go back forth a little bit. Between the two, I think I'm going to choose 18, and I'll chime in on what my other pick was as a secondary option when we get to it. Kyle, you want to start with 18? I'll let you go first this time.
Well, yeah, what did you pick? for what you're saying. So they with obviously the main event was Chris Jericho defending against Triple H. What is your replacement? Let's see if we have the same replacement. I'm assuming we will.
Yeah. So I got two options here.
Oh.
Yeah. So first of all, let me talk about this one. Rock Hogan is an iconic match. I do really like that match. And I know that Steve Austin didn't want to work with Hogan, and but he worked with Hall and it sucked. I just feel like that always should have been Steve Austin. We should have got Steve Austin Hogan.
Wow.
Steve Austin Hogan should have been the match, regardless of how great Rock Hogan was, which it was great, but man, growing up in that period, like the dream match was always Steve Austin Hogan. I never heard anyone say they wanted to see Rock Hogan. It was always Steve Austin Hogan.
Great
point. So the fact that we didn't get Steve Austin Hogan here, like, really kind of sucks. So I considered that as a main event match, but then as far as like a title match, if you want the title match to headline, I think you go with Austin Triple H.
And that is my pick.
Yeah. Because it writes itself, you know, like when Triple H got hurt the previous spring and tore his quad, him and Austin were the tag team. And I think that it's really easy to paint the picture for this match. You know, while Triple H is out, you have Austin making kind of like snide remarks about Triple H throughout. We know Steve Austin, by the way, you know, had gone heel during this period. And I think you go in with Steve Austin as the champion with the returning babyface Triple H.
Is Steve Austin still a heel in your scenario?
Yes, he is. Which, okay. I know the Steve Austin heel thing didn't work out great, but man, Triple H came back with so much steam when he did that I would have kept him heel just like a little while longer, because I think the whole build would have been with Austin as a heel. Like I said, where he's kind of talking down Triple H as he was gone.
I would have had them both as baby faces. And I want to talk about what didn't work at WrestleMania 18, and I'll tell you how I get to that first. All right, what didn't work is the entire Chris Jericho Triple H program.
Yes.
People are going to rightly point to stuff like Lucy the dog, or whatever the dog's name was. It was Lucy, right?
Stephanie, I don't even remember.
I think it was. People are going to point to that as the reason Jericho came off as a weak champion. But look, tip my cap to Chris Jericho, still around today, still performing at a very high level. But in 2002, in my opinion, there is nothing you could have done with him to convince fans he had a chance of going over in this match. And as we've seen many times since, Triple H is not great in a traditional babyface role. I know he got that big pop when he came back at the Garden. He wins the Rumble. But if you go back and watch the stuff, he was losing steam as a babyface going into Mania. And what did he wind back as after this show?
Mm-hmm.
Not too long after, a heel. It was the spite of summer. He was a heel again. So this is how I'm getting Austin Triple H as my main event. You talk about Chris Jericho, what should have been done with him, and I've talked about this to you guys in text form before, is he should have won the title earlier in 2001 than he did. I would have done a double turn with him and Austin at King of the Ring, preventing the atrocious Steve Austin heel run that never should have happened. You get out of that. And Jericho is the one who goes WCW. Remember, Booker T interfered in that match, folks. And yet Steve Austin, as a heel, still won. Talk about nonsensical. I would add Booker T, cost Austin. Jericho maybe could have delayed him officially going WCW maybe a month, saying, oh, I had nothing to do with that. But it could have turned out to be a ruse. Jericho going back to his roots with WCW. And, you know, Jim Ross, by God, I guess this goes back 2 years. You could have done that whole thing. Austin, then, who is, you know, would have just been a heel for that 2 months or whatever, he would eventually get his revenge, maybe at the Rumble on Jericho, and he wins the title back, setting up our Mania main event with Rumble winner Triple H. I think if they're both baby faces, you've got a lot more intrigue in who goes over. I would have put over Triple H, thanks to help from Hall and Nash.
Ooh.
Who... And then Triple H goes heel, which he did again later in the year anyway after failing as a babyface. This gives Hall and Nash more purpose after being left in the dark by Hogan earlier in the show. And I'm going to call out a legend wrestling mastermind, Stephanie McMahon, here. I'm going to ask her to put all her cards on the table. if you've seen the documentaries, everyone talks about Stephanie was just like walking around Toronto that week and shouting how everyone was going to cheer Hulk Hogan in the match with Rock. Well, okay, if that's the case, and you're wondering, because there's, trust me, if you have an Austin Triple H main event, there's going to be a lot of, and you know the political situation at that time, whew, there's going to have to be a lot of massaging of egos there. I think if you realize ahead of time, enough ahead of time, hey, Hogan's going to get cheered in Toronto, we got to do something with Hall and Nash, well, there you go. Let's put him with their buddy, Triple H, and they can have him help Triple H win the title. And Triple H goes heel. That sets up your brand split. The Click with the returning Michaels is your top heel group. They appear on both brands. Austin, the lead babyface on Raw. Hogan, the lead babyface on SmackDown. And maybe you get a happier Austin for the rest of 2002. Because he was in a Mania main event. Not third from the top against an over-the-hill Scott Hall. And, you know, of course, you still can't demand he jobs to Brock Lesnar on free TV on no notice. But, you know, hopefully you don't do that. And maybe Austin never quits the company.
Okay, you win. That's way better than what I came up with. We both agree 18 should have been improved. And we both agreed on Austin Triple H. But I'll take that Austin Triple H version.
And again, the whole Nash thing's not going to last anyway. And you're probably getting to Triple H Michaels anyway. But I just think, you know, with Hall and Nash, I think they actually had a point, because you guys remember the behind-the-scenes stuff with Austin and Hall? Hall was supposed to go over originally, and Austin, rightfully so, because he's like, this guy's a drunk. Yeah. He got out of the company in a month. I'm not losing to this guy. And Hall and Nash were like, well, we just got here. And they both made very good points. So you get out of that situation by not doing that match. I mean, that was a really dumb deal. What a waste of Steve Austin that was. Mm-hmm. Impressive. Scott Hall?
Yeah.
2002?
Yeah. God, we only had one more year of Steve Austin, too. Next year was his farewell match. Yeah.
Yeah. I tried to rework 19, by the way, because I actually don't like that WrestleMania as much as a lot of people. Just from a creative standpoint, I know when we got there, the in-ring was good, obviously, but I thought the creative for that show sucked. But I struggled, to be honest with you, to come up with something like that. So I passed on that one. And I think I'm up next again, by the way, in our timeline.
Okay, go
ahead. Am I not? With 24?
I don't think anyone... Do you have anything between now and 24, Justin?
Nope.
All right.
Okay, so this is quite a big jump we're making here. Kind of, you know, that... I guess this is still Ruthless Aggression era, okay?
08.
And... Yeah. Yeah, this is my most outside-the-box idea, and it might be cheating, so I'd like to hear your guys' response, because I am doing something that I don't know you could get away with, but I'm going to try. This is realistic. My main event for WrestleMania 24 is a fatal four-way. Jeff Hardy as the champion against Randy Orton, John Cena, and Ric Flair fighting for his career.
I did not see this one coming.
All right. Let's talk about what didn't work. Edge Undertaker closed this show. I think it was a fine match. I think it was a good match. I don't think it was a great match. I think it was a good match. I thought, though, at the time, I remember I had some buddies over, too, like those, you know, everybody's casual fans that hung out with them for pay-per-views at that time. They were like, wait, this is the main event? And I kind of agreed. I thought it was a flat closer on a show that had Ric Flair's retirement and Floyd Mayweather. Am I out to lunch on that one?
I probably would have put Michaels and Flair in the main event slot.
Okay, so you agree that Flair's retirement was probably the biggest thing on this show, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I agree. So I am, though, not doing Flair and Michaels, and I'll talk about that in a minute. This is how I'd get this to a four-quarter deal, okay? Cena's trajectory, absolutely the same. He makes a surprise return and wins the 2008 Royal Rumble. Orton loses the WWE title to Jeff Hardy at the Rumble. They wrestled each other at that show. And he would demand his rematch and get it here at WrestleMania. Now, here's where the cheating comes. First of all, if you guys were watching at this time, do you remember how over Jeff Hardy was?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the number two babyface besides John Cena.
Yeah.
Here is where I am cheating. Do you know why Jeff Hardy was not on WrestleMania 24?
He had a run in.
He failed a drug test with the law. So they realized that they had something kind of special, and they did him dirty at the Rumble with the loss to Orton.
Yeah.
And they were going to have him win Money in the Bank, but he failed the drug test and he got suspended.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought he should have beat Orton at the Rumble. And if he did, there's a scenario all of a sudden where, I would have delayed the suspension. I don't know if that's cheating, but that's what I would have done. I would have delayed the suspension after WrestleMania. Yeah. So, okay, how do we shoehorn Ric Flair into this deal? Do you remember how that retirement storyline began?
It was like, well, I remember the week after week stuff. I don't actually recall how it started, though.
Yeah, it was Vince McMahon basically saying, you have to keep winning to continue your career.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. So you're right. It was week to week.
Yeah.
I don't think the Shawn Michaels match fit that storyline at all. It was like a total about face in the storyline where all of a sudden Rick just wanted to like have this one final great moment. He was going to the Hall of Fame and we all knew he was going to lose.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a comment that is maybe controversial to some. I don't like the Ric Flair Shawn Michaels match as much as a lot of people. I felt it was like buying a ticket to seeing a legendary act and getting the tribute band instead.
It's harsh.
I'm sorry, I love you thing was cool. Unfortunately, it has seeped into every NXT match in the year 2020, but that kind of emotion, but that's a different story for a different day. I think if Ric Flair kept fighting for his, where he had to keep winning, I loved that storyline. And if for his final act, he was inserted into this match, spoiler alert, his final act, where it's like Ric Flair must survive a fatal four-way and it's elimination rules where he's retired. I think that's an unbelievable storyline when you hook it up with John Cena's surprise return. You know, Randy Orton was really at his height at this period. And then you got Jeff Hardy, the new champ. Now, Jeff Hardy, maybe the suspension leaks out. Well, guess what? He's eliminated first.
Mm-hmm.
RKO, see you later, Jeff. We're going to have a new world champion, folks. John Cena's out next, RKO. By God, it's come to Ric Flair. This is, to me, Flair is such a better deal than Foley, because it would have been the reneging on the storyline. So you've got Orton and Ric Flair. It's down to them. RKO, see you later, Rick. Randy Orton retires Ric Flair. How's that for a career maker? And setting your lead heel up for the next year.
Yeah, if it's the legend killer. Yeah.
Yeah. So Randy Orton pins all three guys with the RKO. That's my most outside the box idea. Your thoughts?
Just out of curiosity, what do you do with Michaels?
That's a good question. Maybe Batista? Remember that feud they did right after where Batista was like really mad at Shawn for retiring Flair? Maybe you do a deal where Shawn agreed to wrestle Flair and he lost him. Batista was like still mad at him because he agreed to take a match where he could have retired Ric Flair and Batista wouldn't have taken that situation.
Okay.
I think there are other opportunities for Michaels on that card.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else there was. I mean, who are some of the other guys? Who did Batista work on that show? Worked Umaga.
Umaga, yeah.
Who is a treasure, someone we lost far too soon.
Punk won the ladder match, Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like some of these other ones, I was very concerned with, I don't want to lose Warrior Savage. I don't want to lose Hart Austin. I'll be honest with you, I don't give a damn what Shawn Michaels does on this show.
that's gonna surprise some people because it's a really famous match, but man, you make a good case that would have been
like Ric Flair fighting for his career. I mean, how jazz is that crowd? It's down to Orton Flair. By God, Ric Flair, can he win it one more time? No, he can't. You don't always get what you want, folks.
Wow. So WrestleMania 24 closes with Orton getting booze, having retired Ric Flair.
Yes.
Wow.
Tremendous close to a show.
That is ballsy.
Yeah.
Tremendous close.
All right. What do you got, Justin?
This is not on my list, but I just wanted to shout out 29 and maybe, you know, keeping 28 a once in a lifetime and maybe doing like a triple threat Rock, Cena, Punk at 29. I don't know what you can do with that mania to save it, because that was kind of a stinker.
Agreed on all counts.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have one before this, but my next one would be 31.
I do not. So go ahead.
Okay. Another big.
So as I said, I approached this selfishly, and my entire point was to appease 11-year-old Justin by getting that Flair Hogan, and to help Justin, who attended WrestleMania 34 and, and was very let down by that main event and kind of walked out of that place comatose because of, I mean, just...
Because he had to get up for a flight in 4 hours.
Well, yeah, definitely that. But I mean, just the crowd was never going to be into that match. And frankly, so my whole point is I want to make WrestleMania 34 fun for me. And I kind of want to fix the whole Roman Reigns thing. So 31, I think what you got to do is you got to have Daniel Bryan win the Royal Rumble and face Lesnar at 31. And then you can still do the Seth Rollins cash in, because I'm sure they didn't want tiny Daniel Bryan beating Lesnar. And you probably didn't want Lesnar beating Bryan because of how over Bryan was at the time. And then my alternative for Reigns is I give him, and I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but you give him the Warrior treatment and have him have a long Intercontinental title run. Let him kind of show the crowd that he can freaking work in that ring, and that, you know, if he just holds that mid-card title for a while, you know, kind of proves to the fans that he's worth a main event shot. And that in turn leads to 32. I don't know if you guys have anything on 31 there.
I thought about 31, basically the exact scenario, just substituting Bryan for Reigns, and you still do the Seth Rollins cash in. But I left it off because I think you can – basically what you're doing there is you're protecting Roman Reigns from the backlash. Yes. By doing that. But the reason this is one of the last cuts I had was I think they were okay had they just done what they should have at 32, which I think all three of us have on our list, right?
So, yeah, that
– I do, yeah.
So I go into 32 – for one, I don't have Sting work Seth Rollins. I maybe give him like a squash match at that. They did the MSG show for the network. That way Sting gets to wrestle there and pick up a win in WWE. But yeah, I go into 32 with Lesnar, Reigns, Taker, Sting, and Triple H for Shane.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense what you propose.
What Shane came back with too. Yeah.
I didn't really think of it in that fashion, but it does make a lot of sense. 31 was a really good WrestleMania overall, but there was definitely problems with what we were about to see with Roman Reigns for several years in a row. So it is worthy of making a change. I think it didn't make my list, but, I think that's not bad. I don't mind that.
You can do a lot of the same stuff. You know, you have Reigns lose the Intercontinental title in the fall after 31. You can kind of do the same stuff with him winning the title at Survivor Series and then losing it to Sheamus, winning it back, and then do the Royal Rumble 30. But instead of Triple H coming in, you know, you have Lesnar come in at 30 and win the title. And the other thing you have to do at that Royal Rumble is you do not have Roman Reigns freaking leave the match for 20 minutes. He's got to be in there the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my 32 scenario is a lot different than yours, which will be interesting and see what Kyle throws in there. 32 didn't officially make my list, but it was a secondary. I think my top four I ended up going with are 7, 8, 16 and 18, but I'm still going to chime in here on the 32 scenario I had in my mind as a secondary option. Kyle, what do you make of that? And what did you have for 32?
Mine's just very straightforward for 32. And this is my fourth and final pick. Roman Reigns, when he beat Sheamus on Monday Night Raw to win the title, was cheered in Philadelphia. Check the video. I just simply would not have had him lose the title from that point forward.
Mm-hmm.
You had what you wanted. Why did you screw it up in that Royal Rumble? I would have had Reigns just beat, I don't know, Sheamus again at the Royal Rumble and have Brock Lesnar win the 2016 Royal Rumble, setting up Reigns and Lesnar. And here's where maybe changing 31 helps you. If you do Reigns and Lesnar's a rematch, this time there must be a winner. Maybe that makes it a better situation. Maybe have a guest referee like Steve Austin, who's in Texas, WrestleMania 32. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what I would have done. Just real straightforward. Reigns never loses the title in that Rumble. Lesnar wins the Rumble, is the, you know, gets the match, and Reigns goes over. And we don't have to do this pussyfooting around stuff we did for 2.5 years.
Yeah. When I was considering this, the scenario I had in mind was much different, and it was playing into the booze Reigns was getting and making him heel and going into that show as the heel champion against a challenging Dean Ambrose as the babyface.
Wow.
I mean, what Ambrose did on that show was just ridiculous. Losing to Lesnar in the match where anything goes. Just like, oh my God. Like the Blue Wire Pods crew, when we reviewed WrestleMania 32 a few weeks ago, you can check that out on the feed. I chose the Ambrose-Lesnar match and just ranted about how bad it was and how Ambrose was losing like almost every single pay-per-view match for a year, despite being incredibly popular. And I'm saying this as someone who wasn't a huge Dean Ambrose fan at the time, but like, man, the dude was super popular. And so I feel like he could rebook that with leaning into the booze and making Reigns a heel champion. If you rewind to the fall of 2015 before this, when Rollins got injured, you know, and they had the tournament, you know, maybe you have Reigns become the new guy for Triple H or whatever, and for the authority, and he becomes the heel champion and eventually fights his former Shield partner Ambrose in a big blow off at WrestleMania 32. In a match I think people would have been really excited for, instead of seeing Ambrose lose to Brock Lesnar. So I think maybe they could have done right by Dean Ambrose here by giving him that big moment, and also satisfied so many of the smarks at the time that wanted a heel Roman Reigns. We'll never know, but that was the alternate scenario I had in mind. It didn't make my Mount Rushmore, did not make my Mount Rushmore, but that's what I was considering.
You know, Justin, going back to his down card scenario, kind of intrigued me there with doing Triple H Shane, because then you get out of the situation where you would need Shane to beat The Undertaker. Just that, like, Shane could have beaten Triple H. Yep. And
you could have had the same spot, too.
Yeah, and stayed around. Now, you know, Triple H would have, I don't know how much cash they would have had to give him to do that job, but whatever. And then, yeah, you do the Taker Sting deal. Yeah, that's kind of a much more impressive top three than what they had. Because you're right? That Lesnar Ambrose deal was an abomination. That is a hideous WrestleMania, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think other than 9 and 11, you can make a case that WrestleMania 32 is the worst WrestleMania.
It's bad.
It's really real bad. Yeah. So I got one more, guys. And I need your help deciding on which one it's going to be, because, like I said, this is all about making Justin happy at 34. And there's two ways of going about this. And this is where my conundrum comes in, is, you know, in my scenario, I changed 31 and 32 to kind of keep Reigns more a little bit over with the crowd. So if you do Undertaker at 33.
Okay.
I think he still gets shit on by the fans. And I almost don't want to change that because of how much I freaking love that moment on Raw after 33. It's my yard now.
Yeah, that was, God, being in the village. That was so glorious.
That is so good. So if we keep Reigns and Undertaker at 33, which was really bad match.
Horrible.
then I think you have to go like Braun and Lesnar at 34. The crowd would probably be into that a little bit more. I don't know what you do with Reigns then, because you can't have him pick a kid out of the crowd, because that kid's going to be booed relentlessly as a tag team champion.
Well, keep in mind with your situation, what you've done, if you're continuing your alternate reality, if your WrestleMania 31 situation takes hold, maybe Reigns isn't getting booed.
Well, in this case, if we're keeping him kind of ending the Undertaker, I think he is kind of back to getting booed.
Okay.
So that's, and then maybe you make the Intercontinental Championship a fatal four way at, 34, put Reigns in that. The other option is you change the 33 match, and that's where I don't really know what you do with that. You'd have Reigns go against Cena or Goldberg, and then you can do a rematch at 34 of Reigns and Lesnar. Hmm. A rematch of, in my scenario, WrestleMania 32.
I don't know if I like either of them. Reigns and Strowman would make. Did you say Lesnar Strowman though?
Yes.
Is the title match?
Yes.
Okay. Because Strowman had his monster run in 2017. So it's funny that they, we've talked about, they never did Hogan Flair. Yeah, that's a shocker. But it's crazy they never did Reigns Cena, although I guess the thinking is the crowd shitting on both of them. and they didn't want that. And that's, and to be fair,
tell me how you send the home crowd or the crowd happy from 34.
When am I jumping in? Am I using your alternate timeline going back to 31, or am I just jumping in with what I had with in 2017?
Use either one.
Okay. It's really hard because the moving pieces, you're right. I feel that. All right. So Reigns, the thing is, you had to put the title on. If you're just jumping in and with what you had to work with, I just think they should have gone with Reigns winning the title over Lesnar and just said, duck and cover. Because I think just dragging out that Reigns coronation was just dumb and had such an adverse effect on so many other people.
But I mean, at that point at WrestleMania 34, it was too late. I mean, that crowd freaking hated that match. It's not even that they hated the match. They weren't even freaking paying attention to it.
Yeah, I know. It would have been terrible, but I don't know, man. I still would have done it. I still would have just had Reigns go over.
My God, I didn't know we've been podcasting with Vince McMahon this entire time.
Oh, yeah, that is a really interesting dynamic. I don't know how you fix it, to be honest, just jumping into 2018.
I didn't even think of that. That's actually the first one that's been brought up that I didn't think of. I guess maybe because I'd gotten to my four and I just, it makes my head hurt actually to do the last three. Cause I don't think it's simple at all.
Mm-hmm.
The last three or four now, quite frankly. Yeah, I don't know. I would have to think about that one a little bit more. Just I have not thought about that one before, what I would do in an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
I think for me, the option is you keep, this is in my alternate 31, 32. I think you just got to do something different than Reigns Undertaker at 33. Because, I mean, that just didn't work for Malt. For one, it didn't work because Taker probably shouldn't have been wrestling at that time anyways. That was obviously not his last match. So the whole taking off the gloves and boost thing was irrelevant in hindsight. So I don't know what else you do with him, but I think you got to change that match.
You could have done Reigns-Goldberg and Reigns beat Goldberg for the title.
Yeah.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done that.
I mean, you would have had, kind of the the smarks like me and Ryan definitely being on Reigns' side on that one.
Yeah, that is for sure. I would have bought a Roman Reigns t-shirt to wear to that show for that one.
That's why I don't know. That's tough. I mean, the last few WrestleManias, I think there's just so many moving pieces because, and the thing also with the last few WrestleManias is there's no true main event. I guess you're almost changing the match that went on last.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other thing too. It's like, it's like not even a double main event. It's just, they don't even necessarily, especially 33 and 34. It was like, there was a debate what match is going to go on last. Like, and there was like multiple options that was not a thing for most of WrestleMania's existence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's been an interesting list that we all three came up with. I always like to deep dive on these past shows and talk about what has happened in WrestleMania past. So I think this is a pretty enjoyable conversation, guys.
I love it.
If you guys have thoughts on it, let us know. You can email us, topropenation@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always send us tweets at topropenation. We are also on Instagram and Facebook as well.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.